thank you this morning for your loving kindness to us. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for the gospel that was so clearly presented to us when we were born again, that you came to die for us. You were buried. The third day you rose again, and you're now seated at the right hand of God the Father. Father, we thank you for that gospel. We thank you that you died for our sins, that you died that we might have life, life eternal. And as we come together this morning, we would ask, Lord, that you might guide and direct us, that our minds might be open to the truth, that we might be saturated with the word of God, that we might be able to live in the power of your word. And so we're going to thank you this morning for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in 1 John. We're down at verse 5, but let me read a couple of verses to you. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. And that's where we were at when the word, the life, appeared. When Jesus Christ appeared on this earth, he was the light. We looked at John chapter 12, verse 36. I have come as a light unto the world, and Jesus is the light of the world. He came to open the eyes of those who were blind. And all we need is simple faith in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We're at the latter part of that verse, or I guess in the middle of part of it, but the light shineth in darkness. And light is needed to where there's darkness. Where there's light, there is no darkness. And light dispels darkness. Oftentimes in my Sunday school class, we would be talking about walking in the dark and how the world is walking in the dark, and I turn all the lights off. Now, it's pretty dark down there, but a little light gets through. But if we were to walk across the room, we would stumble or hit something, and we would not be able, if we got disoriented, we wouldn't know where we really were if you're in absolute darkness. And the world was in absolute darkness. And light and darkness cannot exist together. Darkness that John is talking about is not just the dark night, but he's talking about the darkness of sin, the spiritual darkness in a person's life. That is, of course, the result of the fall. When Adam sinned, the spiritual darkness entered the world, and men could not see the truth. They were blinded to the truth. They were blinded to the light from God's word. That blindness, of course, was passed on to all generations after him. Without light, there is only darkness. You don't have any light, it's black. It's pitch black. You can't see. Without light, everything ultimately would die. You need light, and the process of that goes on that produces life. Every man that comes into this world has been enlightened by the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you turn your Bibles to John chapter 1, verse 9, or just down the page a little bit. This was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world, he tells us. But the natural man does not want the true light. He comes, he reveals himself. He does not want it because it reveals his sinfulness. He doesn't want to see himself. He doesn't want to see what he's really like. I can remember in my life coming to a place as a Christian, saying, "What am I really like? Lord, let me know what I'm really like, and let me see what's down underneath and deep down inside the light." And I wanted the light to penetrate into my soul to see what kind of a person I really was. And at first, you don't like what you see. You see all the scum and the sin and the selfishness that's there, the anger that's there, but the light comes in and it dispels all that darkness. It begins to reveal it, and when we reveal it, we see it's there. We can confess it and we can move on in our lives. He is the light. See, the mind is blinded. The natural mind is blinded to the light. It cannot see the light. And then not only is it blinded the light, but Satan has also brought this blindness upon him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, it says that whose mind the God of this world has blinded. Not only is there a blindness that comes as a result of our sin nature that we received from Adam, but the God of this world also comes and he blinds the minds of those who do not believe. He doesn't want us to see the light. He doesn't want man to see the light. He's trying to prevent that from coming to them. The consequence of their blindness is a rejecting of the light. And when they reject the light, they're condemned. It's a sad state of affairs that mankind needs light. They don't want it. They refuse it. Have you ever been in a dark place, a really dark place, and someone's turned the light on, bright light right on your face, in your eyes? You don't really want to look at it. And that's the way, you know, you sort of squint, you're holding your hands, you don't close your eyes because it's so bright. And when God's light shines on us, when that light has come into the world, men didn't put their hands on it. They didn't want to see it. They didn't want to look at it. And not only did they want to see it because it blinded them, but it also, the God of this world came and he blinded their minds so they wouldn't receive the gospel of the glory of Christ. So that condemnation comes. And in John chapter 3, verse 19, if you want to turn there, it says this, and this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Jesus came to give light to the blind, but they didn't want it. John chapter 9, verse 5 says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And Jesus was the light. He came in the light. He lit up the world. And they held their hands up. They closed their eyes. It was too bright. And Satan covered their hearts so they would not believe. You see, Israel was to be the light of the world. God put Israel here to present the gospel to the world. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6 says, I am the Lord, I, the Lord, have called you into righteousness and will hold your hand, and I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people, as a light to the Gentiles. They were to present the Gentiles with the gospel, the truth. Israel was to reflect God's light. They had no light in themselves. We're reflectors. We're like the moon. The moon has no light in itself. The moon reflects the sunlight. As the sun is shining, it reflects the sun, and we can see at night. And that's what we are. We're reflectors, and that's what Israel was. But they failed miserably. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 15, or 14 through 16 says this, and you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket. Your light so shine before, so let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, what Israel did is he's saying you ought not to put your light under a basket you can't see. And that's exactly what Israel did. They did not become a light to the world. They failed. I believe this is a rebuke in Matthew chapter 5. It's a rebuke to Israel. Men don't light a light and then put a basket over it. They want people to see. That's what the light is for. The light was put out. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 6, verse 9 says, the light of the righteous rejoice, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. And as we studied Isaiah, and we studied, not Isaiah, but Haggai and Malachi, and we saw that Israel... They didn't want to let their light shine. They went the opposite way. Christ came to be light, but they rejected him. Israel was light, but they failed to reflect that light. You and I are light. God has given us the light. We have become the light today. The church is a light. Will you turn with me to Acts chapter 13, verse 47. And God's instruction to Paul in Acts chapter 13, verse 47 says this, for so the Lord hath commanded us. That's not just Paul, but all of them. I have set you as a light to the Gentiles that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. We are reflectors. God has given us a light. We're not the main light. We're just reflectors, but we're to reflect the grace of God in the lives of other people. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 says, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Reflecting God's grace and God's glory and God's power. 1 Thessalonians 5:5 says, "You are all the sons of light and the sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness." You and I are different. When we became a believer, we became light in the Lord. We became reflectors for the Lord. How do you set your light forth? How do you let people see your light? I can look across there, and you are people. I mean, we go out in the middle of a stadium, and there may be 100,000 people there. And how do you see the light? You don't see any difference in the people. We're all sitting there. And there may be 100 Christians or 1,000 Christians dispersed among those 100,000, but you see no light. How do you give forth light? Will you turn to Psalm 119, verse 130 with me? Psalm 119, verse 130 says this, "In the entrance..." That is the opening or the disclosure, that which unfolds, a disclosure of knowledge or understanding or something that is difficult. And you and I have the truth, and the truth is difficult. It's hard. But listen to what he says. "The entrance or the unfolding of your words give light." The unfolding of your words give light. You can't give light unless you use words. The words of God becomes the light that flows through us so that other people can see it. You don't win people to Jesus Christ by people looking at you. Now, it's important that you live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord and a life that is not, detrimental to a testimony of the Lord. But the real light that comes through is our words. If we don't speak, there's no light. You have to share the truth. You have to talk to people. I have said this to you often. When you learn something of the truth of God's Word, you have a responsibility to share that with someone else. You don't hold it in. You become like a sponge. And you pull it all in, but if it isn't squeezed, if it doesn't come out, it doesn't do any good. It's only in you. As you use it and as you share it, then it becomes light to other people. The entrance, this disclosure of knowledge as it comes forth. Your words give light. Words give light. It gives understanding to the simple. That is to those who don't understand, whether they're unsaved or whether they're saved and need further instruction. We have a responsibility. You don't sit under teaching day year after year after year and not share it with someone. We need that's how we become light in the Lord. We receive the light. But now we want to give it out. And how are we going to give it forth? Well, our words will be light to them. John says, of course, that the light was in the world. And in verse 5, the light shineth in darkness. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness overcame it not. It overcame it not. Did not comprehend it. Did not comprehend it. Some of your Bibles have that, the word comprehend. The word there is kata lambano. Kata means according to, and lambano means to receive. It's used of laying hold of something, grasping something, or to seize upon it, or to hold it forth in the mind, or with the mind, and then to overcome or to overpower something. This statement can be interpreted two ways. Both are true. Both are true. It says the darkness did not comprehend it or overcome it. I don't know what your Bible says. It depends on your translation. Both are true. The first is that darkness could not understand the light because their minds are not capable of laying hold of the truth in order to understand it. They just don't have a mind to be able to do that. They have no facility there. See, when you were born again, God gave you a facility in your mind, a capacity in your mind to understand spiritual truth. And light became entered into you. And that light is, if it's going to be dispelled, if you're going to become the light of the world, then you have to share it with other people. But it comes into you. And he says here that the darkness did not comprehend it. It couldn't enter into them. It stopped there. Darkness did not understand the light because their minds were not capable of laying hold of it in order to understand. It was beyond their comprehension. Dead people can't see light. You can go to a dead person, you can open up his eyelid and you can shine the light in it and he still couldn't see it. Dead people can't see it. And he says the world, the darkness, did not comprehend it. It had no capacity to understand it. Their hearts were darkened so that the light could not penetrate. The second interpretation is, and either one are true, is that the light could not be overpowered. See, the word means to lay hold of, to lay hold. The darkness could not lay hold of it. It could not comprehend it. But it also means to seize or to have power to overcome something. And the second interpretation means that the light could not be overpowered. The light is too strong. The darkness could not enclose the light and just cover it all up. It had no ability, it had no capacity to do that. It had no strength to do that. It could not overpower it to stop it from shining and accomplishing its work. In other words, the light kept shining in spite of all the darkness. It just kept shining, and although they couldn't comprehend it, they couldn't overcome it, they couldn't understand it, but it kept shining. He is the light of the world. He is the light of the world. Do you remember when Christ was on the cross that it became dark for 3 hours? Everything became dark. The sun was clouds, the clouds covered canopy. But that couldn't contain it. See, they couldn't hold it. In Matthew chapter 27, it says this, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness over all the land. But 3 days later, the light began to shine again. He rose from the grave. He rose from the grave. He was back to shine in the hearts of the believer, in our hearts, when we accept Jesus Christ. He becomes light to us. An unsaved man is blind to the spiritual world. You and I became enlightened to the spiritual world. We got light so that we could see that spiritual world that was out there. And we could begin to understand what was happening. In Luke 11:34, it says, the lamp of the body is the eye. The lamp of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is good, your whole body is also full of light. But when your eye is bad, your body also is full of darkness. And God gave you sight. He gave you eyesight. And your eyes were good. And you were able to begin to see the truth of God's word. An unsaved man is blind to that spiritual world. He's in absolute darkness. He cannot comprehend it. All darkness fades away before the light. All darkness does that. But in the unsaved, the darkness is impenetrable. It can't get through. There's like a wall there. It just doesn't. It can't penetrate the darkness of the unsaved, the hopeless. Proverbs says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. They cannot see where they're going. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we read verse 4 before, but let me read verses 3 and 4. But even if our gospel is veiled or covered up, it is covered up or veiled in those who are perishing or lost, whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. What a fearful and solemn indictment of fallen human beings. The light does not penetrate. It doesn't get through. It doesn't get through. And how evident it is that nothing short of the gospel of grace is able to penetrate that. You and I, we can give our light, we can share with the truth of it, but until God's grace comes upon that person, he is unable to see the truth. He'll never be able to comprehend it. The light's there. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "For it is God who has commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." We got to thank God every day for the light that God has given us, that we saw the gospel, we heard the gospel, we believed the gospel. He worked in our lives in such a way that he brought that all about. We couldn't have done it on our own. Colossians 1:13, "He has delivered us from the power of darkness." The darkness held us in bondage. And God freed us from that. We've been delivered from the power of darkness and translated into the kingdom of his Son, the Son of his love. Arthur Pink, in his book, looking at the first five verses, sort of gives you a summary statement of this. He uses six things. He says the relationship in verse 1, the relationship of Christ to time. He's eternal in the beginning, John 1:1. The relationship of Christ to the head. He was God. He was with God. Therefore, one of the holy members of the Trinity, as I pointed out to you, that had he used the word "the" in there, it would have restricted that. But there is he is one of the Trinity. His relationship to the Holy Trinity. God was the Word. God was the Word. It said that God was the Word, but he says God was the Word, and he left that door open to for the whole Trinity. He was one of the Trinity, and God the Father, and God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, as one in heaven in eternity. By themselves until they created something. The relation of Christ to the universe. All things were made by him. In John 1:3. The relationship of Christ to man. He was their light. Verses 4 and 5. Now he begins to talk about John the Baptist. John the Baptist. In this section he moves from this vast spanse of eternity and looking at something very simple. A solitary person, one person in time. He picks out this one man, John. Many think that the change of subject is sort of abrupt, but he's been talking about the light. And he's talking about the forerunner of Jesus Christ, the one who was to come and announce the birth, not the birth, I'm sorry, but to the ministry of Jesus Christ. "Behold, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, therefore." John has been talking about the light shining in darkness. John the Baptist was a light, revealing the coming of Jesus Christ. He was not the true light. See, he was not the true light, but he was a light. And he was sent to bear witness of the true light. In verses 7 and 8 of this chapter, it says the saying, that is, John came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. So it's not such an abrupt break in the thing. He's just carrying this over. He's been talking about the light. Now he's going to bring it down into time. How did it get down here? How do we understand it? John came along. John the Baptist came along, and he was a witness to that light. He was the witness of that light. So we come to the next section. And we have the witness of John the Baptist in verses 6 to 8. He's the forerunner. He's simply a man. Isn't it interesting that John says that there was a man? He doesn't say that he doesn't identify him as John the Baptist. He doesn't identify him as a prophet. He just says that he was a man. He was like you and me. He was a man. He was simply a man sent from God whose name is John. Very simple introduction to the ministry of John the Baptist. Do you know what the word John means? The word John means Jehovah is a gracious giver. Jehovah is a gracious giver. It's almost synonymous with grace, the grace of God. Jehovah is a gracious giver. He was sent from God. The word sent is the word apostello. It's A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O. Apostello. It comes from two Greek words, apo, which means from, and stello means to send. And he was sent from God. There's an interesting participle here. I'm sorry, preposition here. The preposition is para, P-A-R-A. And he was sent from, para, from God. Para means not by God, but from the side. Actually, it identifies a close relationship. Para is side by side is the idea, or near someone. And he was sent from God. He was sent right from the side of God, if you please. Not that he was in heaven before, but there was a close relationship between God and John the Baptist. He was introduced in the Gospels. Zechariah was his father, and he's given this great thing. He was sent from God, right from the hand of God, right from the side of God. He came, he beside. This little preposition gives John an identity, and it gives him some authority. He came from God, from the side of God. And so he's coming. He has some ability. He's just not sent by God, but from God. And he has now the authority, if you please, and the dignity that this one needs to present the light. He was to bear witness of the light. John may have had a reason for just mentioning the fact that he's a man. He didn't say he was John the Baptist. He didn't say he was a prophet. He just says he was a man. A man. God, there was a man sent from God. I guess any one of us could say that. You have a ministry. God sent you. He sent you into the world. He sent John there. And there may be a reason for this, however. Not saying a whole lot about John, because he didn't want John the Baptist to be the focus. The focus was not John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a powerful figure. I mean, he was a mighty preacher, and he led people to the Lord. He led them to the light by multitudes. And years later, there were still disciples of John. Do you know that? Well, you turn to Acts, we'll have to pick that up next time. I don't have time. But about 20 years later, Paul runs across some disciples of John. Now, that's 20 years later. So you understand that John's ministry was very effective. And when John talked about the fact that the Messiah was coming, that they ought to be prepared for it, there were men who were waiting 20 years later, and they were still preaching John's message. And so John was very influential. I want to show you next week. There are two passages of scripture that relate to John's disciples and John the Baptist's disciples and how they held on to that message and why they held on to that message. And we'll see a little bit more about that. Let's close with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning again for the gospel of grace. We thank you for the truth. We thank you, Father, for sending the Lord Jesus Christ, the light into the world. And we thank you that that light penetrated our hearts and you saved us. And Father, we have a responsibility to share that light, the light that you've given us. And Father, may our words reveal the light that's inside of us, that others may come to that light. And we'll thank you for that this morning for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.